Ministries.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day, Brevard County. Thank you for once again choosing to turn to WMIE 91.5 FM and listen to the Refresh radio broadcast brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, and we are just celebrating every good and wonderful thing that the Lord has done. He truly is a wonderful, wonderful Savior, and we're just thankful to be a part of what He is doing. So we want to say thank you today for tuning in, and I'm not going to have a real long intro this morning to because I want to get to the Word. We got a lot to talk about in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where you've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit and faithfulness. And yesterday we were talking about the authority of God's Word. And I'm telling you, the more you build your life upon the Word of God, the better it is going to go for you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." And we were in 2 Timothy chapter 3 yesterday, that all Scripture is inspired by God. It is it's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we want you to be equipped for every good work. And so today we're going to look at this faithful saying that Paul wrote to Timothy. I believe we would do well to look at that word and see what it is. And I'm here to tell you that you are, hopefully today will hear some things that will inspire you and challenge you and stretch you in your journey with God. It says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." And so this is a trustworthy, a true and irrefutable statement. And it says that if a man desires the position of a bishop. Now, let me describe to you, this is talking about a ministry vocation, a vocational ministry. All the saints are called to be ministers, to be servants. There were the apostles in the early church, and there was in Acts chapter 6, there was a quarrel that arose because some of the Jewish widows were not being treated the same as other Jewish widows. The Greek Jews or the Hellenistic Jews were not being treated the same way as the Hebraic Jews. And so there was a need that arose because the church was growing. God was adding to it daily. And the disciples said, "You know what? We've got to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." And so we're going to ask you to search out some people. You can look at the qualifications, and they were known as deacons. And so the apostles said, "We're going to do this, and The deacons are going to take care of these daily things so that we can continue to focus on those things which we are supposed to focus on. And then there was other people in the congregation. And I will tell you, you don't need a title. Servanthood is not about a title. Being a servant leader is not about a title. It is about having the heart of a servant and being faithful to serve. And so let me just talk to you just a little bit about the ministry. Your pastor probably won't tell you these things. You may be under a misconception from what the world has to say. But people don't go into the ministry to get rich. There was a long time where my wife and I and our family, we were taking a financial loss, and there were times when we dug into our own pocket, which wasn't deep, in order to keep the church where its bills were paid. And fortunately, God intervened in that situation. He gave us divine instruction and insight that helped to turn that around. But when we were there for probably 7 months and had never received a penny. We didn't come there in order to say, you know what, the six people here at Merit Assembly of God, that is going to change our financial structure. It had, in fact, we didn't even know the financial situation of the church when we took it over. We were just thrilled to serve. And so if you have a desire to be in full-time ministry because you think you're going to get rich, you've got the wrong conception, and I just want to be there to correct. Now, there are some people who write books and speak at conferences and have really large churches, and they have ministries that are beyond anything that I could comprehend. Let me just say this. There was a time where I had a man that was doing some work, and he said, I'm going to give you a discounted rate because you were a church. And then he told me what the rate was. And he didn't tell me what the rate was, but when he did reveal it to me, it was like, I thought you said you were going to give me a discounted rate. You see, I was making about $7 an hour at that time, and the rate that he quoted me was nearly four times that. And I said, I thought you said you were going to give me a discounted rate. And he said, well, I did. He said, I normally charge, and he told me how much he normally charged. And at that point in time, that would have been 6.5 times what I was making. And I was like, oh, well, I had no idea. I obviously chose the wrong career path in being in retail. And all of a sudden I wanted to go back and train myself to do his job because it was paying better than what selling shoes was, for sure. And here's what God told me in that situation. He said, I don't want you to begrudge him the fact that he makes that kind of money. Because if you begrudge him the amount of money that he makes, then I could never trust you in all justice and all equity. I could never entrust you with those type of resources. And it's like, God, I bless him in the name of Jesus. That's my attitude. So for people who do quite well in the ministry, I praise God for them, but I can tell you that there are a lot of people that I have known in the ministry who are working two and three and four jobs and pastoring churches as well, just to try and make ends meet. So don't be under the deception that you are going to be greatly enriched financially because of the ministry. That's just not the case. Second, if you see the person up there on the pulpit or in the pulpit and speaking, that's the public part of the ministry, but it is a small part of the ministry. I had been in the ministry for 9 years when I became pastor at Merit Assembly of God. And I tell you, after about 6 weeks of being the pastor, I said, God, I'm not equipped for this. I'm not prepared for this. I need your help. See, and it wasn't the preaching part. It was everything else. It was board meetings and, electric bills and budgets and building repairs and fire marshals and all sorts of different things that I found myself having to learn on the job very quickly. And anybody who says that they can walk onto a job and not have anything to learn, they may be overestimating. So there are things there was this wisdom that was given to us about the ministry. And that was, if you can run from it, run from it. But if you can't run from it, run to it. In other words, if you are called to be in full-time ministry, if you're called to be, you know, and I don't want to put this in a compartmentalized version, but if you believe that God has called you to focus your efforts on ministry to a full-time basis, you're never going to be content doing anything else. Some other things that I need to tell you about the ministry before you get into this faithful saying and desiring that position is that it's a pretty criticism heavy place to be. I have told people this, that my job is one of the few in the world that everybody knows how to do my job better than what I do. From the person who doesn't even read the Bible, to the person who doesn't know Jesus, to the person who just got saved, everybody knows what and how the pastor should be doing something. Now, I'm not talking about Merit Assembly of God. I'm just talking about pastors in general. You are opened up for criticism. Everybody has their opinion, and they're not afraid to express it. So you're going to need to be pretty tough. You're going to need to be pretty thick-skinned. You're going to have to say, you know what? This is what God told me to do. And because of that situation where everybody is second-guessing or Monday morning quarterbacking or second-guessing everything that you do, you've got to have some thick skin. But there are a lot of people. What you may not know is that there are hundreds and hundreds of churches across America that close every month. I'll also say this about ministry, since I'm talking about things that people are of an erroneous perception of. There are people who think, wow, the churches are just really skating by because they're tax exempt. They don't have to pay property taxes and all of that. And I will tell you this, that if we did that, then we wouldn't have the resources to help single moms the way that we do. We wouldn't have the resources to put in to several other ministries that benefit the community. One of my kids had a new worker that came onto their job site, and they were having some discussion. He says, I know right where that church is. I used to play basketball on the basketball goals there at that church. I know exactly where you are at. There are things that we do that we wouldn't have the resources to do if we were treated. But please don't think that it is a get-rich-quick scheme or anything like that. Pastoring is hard work, and there are a lot of pastors, the majority of pastors, do not survive all the way until retirement in full-time ministry. It's a very small a number of people that do. And it, at times it can be a an isolated and a lonely profession. And because of wounds and scars that have happened, there are a lot of ministers who just get wounded in the process. And so you've got to be willing to do that. Now, I will tell you this, when it's what God called you to do, it doesn't matter about all of the things that I'm telling you about. It is just part of the process. But at the end of the day, he who called you is faithful and will equip you for every good work. So I don't want to paint an overly bleak picture, because the number one thing that I enjoy is seeing people give their heart to Jesus and watch God radically transform their lives. I have people that I know that their life used to be one thing, and now it's completely and totally different. For some, their entire family generation has radically changed because of a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you see a life changed, it is worth every inconvenience and every hardship that you go through. Hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that is going to be the greatest thing that I have to look forward to, and for you as well. This is a faithful saying: if a man desires the position of a bishop. So I talked a little bit about the ministry. I like to share with you the positives and the negatives, the challenges, because I don't want you know, Jesus said you've got to count the cost. There's a joke that goes around in preachers, and that is, you know, they didn't teach me that in Bible college. And the conclusion is that if they taught us about all of the challenges, all of the hardships that we would face when we got into the ministry, if they'd taught us about, nobody would have ever said yes to the ministry. I believe that Bible college, it was meant to be a spiritual boot camp, not necessarily a place of lavish comfort. There are two, you know, I needed to know that there was going to be some hard times and that God would be faithful to me to get me through challenging and difficult seasons. So it's this word desires has a very interesting meaning. It means to stretch oneself out for, or to reach out for, or to covet, or to desire. Now, you understand that in the scriptures, the Bible says that the ultimate will of God for us is for God to give us the desires of our heart. Many people want to take that and say, well, my heart desires this, and therefore I want God to give me that. And, you know, there are times where that happens. It is a much better thing to say, God, I want you to give me your desires, and then I will desire them. And because we are in agreement with this, I'm going to be desiring the things you want me to desire. So God desired for Paul to be the Apostle Paul. He desired for that. And so there was a supernatural encounter on the road to Damascus that changed the life of Paul, but it changed the course of history as well. And, you know, you and I want to ask you this. I've got a bit of a challenge here for you, and that is this. What are you reaching out for? What are you stretching yourself for? What are you believing God for in 2018? Not what are you comfortable with? I'm asking you, what are you stretching for? What are you reaching out for? What is it that God is stirring in your heart and you say, I have got to get to that point because there's kingdom benefit for me achieving that. People's lives are going to be enhanced because of that. So I challenge you to stretch out for something that is good. It goes on and it says, he desires a good work. So if you are stretching, if you are reaching out for something, the second word that is desires in this passage is a different word for the first one. It is that it means to set your heart upon. So there is the stretching, there is It is something that is beyond where I am now. But I've got to be all in. Can I tell you that if your heart is not in something, it's not going to last. Don't look for that bailout clause. Look to be all in the process. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, your finances. What have you set your heart upon? Because I will tell you that no matter what you're stretching for or reaching out for, there are going to be times when you are going to have the temptation to want to quit, to pack it in. But if your heart is upon something, you're not going to give in. You're going to say, no, that's what I want. It is the field of great treasure. That's what I want. That's where the will of God is for me and my life. And as a result of that, it doesn't matter what hell brings my way. Heaven has birthed a desire inside of me, and my heart has said yea and amen to the desire that God has placed within me. So make sure that you are wholeheartedly invested in that which you are reaching out for. It says, and then it goes on in verse number 2 to begin to describe some of the qualifications of a bishop. You see, the higher you go, the more requirements there are. I know that it seems to be a popular thing to lower the standard right now, but when God calls you up, when he calls you to a position of leadership, there are going to be things that won't be able to make that journey with you. Okay? So let's look at some of these things. It says, must be blameless. That means I've got to have dealt with all of my baggage, all of my issues. I've got to have asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. I've got to allow him to make all of the necessary life corrections in me so that I go forth in a manner that is not going to hinder the message. If there is a disconnect between messenger and message, there's not going to be the harvest that would be possible. You and I would become a stumbling block to people accepting Jesus instead of a launching pad to them accepting Jesus. The husband of one wife, that means that I'm going to be doing things in my relationship with my spouse that is pleasing to God. I'm not going to be led astray by the temptations of this world. I am going to stay fixated and focused on the wife of my youth, the way that it talked about in Malachi. You're not going to break faith with that person. You are going to continue on the parameters. You see, several years ago, God gave me a word, and as I looked around, I saw that many people were preaching exactly the opposite word. They were preaching about life without boundaries, and God was instructing me to live within boundaries, not limitations, not ceilings, not prisons, but within the boundaries and the jurisdiction that God had given to me. And so there are a lot of things that you hear about in the news right now that is taking place across a cultural setting, but those broken relationships and failed relationships within the church, they should be the exception. They should not be the norm. And so my goal and my wife's goal is to not just start well, but to finish well, to finish strong. And so that's what I'm going to do. There is a biblical standard there, and you know, if you don't like it, you got to take it up with God. Sorry. Temperate and sober-minded. Now, when you look these words up in the Greek, you're going to see that these two words are very Very similar. One means sober-minded. The other one means sound in mind. It is talking about a person who does not allow substance or does not allow opinion to alter his mental capacity, does not allow anger to rule and reign in his life, does not allow arrogance to rule and reign. A person who desires to be a bishop is going to be under the authority of God in their spiritual condition. They're going to be under the authority of God in their marital status. They're going to be under the authority of God in their mental makeup. It goes on and it says, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. Okay, sober-minded, of good behavior, and hospitable. This might sound like a no-brainer, but did you know that if you're going to be in the ministry and serve as a bishop, if that's what you believe God has called you to do, you've got to love people. And you've got to create an environment where people are comfortable being around you. Not putting up barriers so that people can't get to you, but that you are actually, you got people who want to be around you. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. Didn't mean he endorsed their sin. It was that he created an atmosphere where by the time he got done ministering to them, they were ready to accept his forgiveness and his will for their life. Okay? So a bishop has got to be hospitable. If you don't like people, don't get into the ministry. It's about people. It is all about people. When we first came to the church, by the time I would say amen at the front of the service, I would get to the back of the church and everyone was gone. And it's, you know, I would almost run back there and they would already be out the door. Now our church is entirely different in that there are people who will stay and they will talk and they will talk and they will talk because they enjoy being around one another. If you've never been around a friendly church where people just wanted to get to know you, I pray that you will get to find a church where people really do want you to be part of the family. Merit Assembly of God, we are a church family, and we've always got room for more. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.